Welcome to Common Ground. I'm your host, Pat Casale. I host this show along with my good friend, Dean Schulman. We'll be talking about Kenosha, law enforcement, and what we have to do to make things better. It's kind of crazy. But before we get into the show, I'd like to take a moment and say to the family of a great actor, Chadwick Boseman, my condolences. I just can't. I was blown away when I heard he passed away yesterday at 43 years of age. I didn't know he was sick, and apparently he was smart enough to keep it under wraps. But I tell you, the silent killer is colon cancer. It really is an amazing thing, and not a good thing. And I want to tip my hat to him and his family. This man was a great actor, and I mean he did a great job. I mean, just far too young to leave us 43 years of age. And I also want a special shout out to all those people who received notice yesterday by the MGM that they're part of the 18,000 people being laid off. And I will tell you that if you want to give me a call, if you're wondering what to do with your insurance, give me a call anytime. I can guide you at 702-396-9449. Let me just share this with you. Don't be so eager to switch if you have Cobra offered to you, specifically because you might have met your medical expenses for the year and you don't want to just switch. And secondly, I can show you a way to save a couple of months of premium and still have coverage for free. But you got to give me a call at 702-396-9449. So it's a way to manipulate a system the right way. Considering your finances right now, I'm sure any dollar you can save would be a dollar earned.
Give the name of your company too, Pat.
The name of my company is the MultiCare Group. My name is Pat Casale. You know I've been on doing radio for a long time regarding insurance. And if I can help you with your healthcare issues, please feel free to call us. So, you know, Dean, this craziness between Kenosha and vigilantism and everything that's going on, and we all obviously is provoked based upon Jacob Blake being shot seven times, you know, Rashard right. Brooks in Georgia. We got the cops in Inglewood a couple weeks ago, and they shot a 15-year-old, George Floyd. And it's interesting, in all four incidents, the police were called out. This wasn't like a random attack on civilians. And it seems like there's a mixture out there. I mean, I understand where a lot of people think, oh, my God, they're attacking these poor black individuals, and it's kind of crazy. And law enforcement, we both know, is really under a microscope, and we gotta make better of this. I mean, this we can't allow law enforcement not to have support. More so, I'm scared as hell of vigilantism. Right. This kid Kyle Rittenhouse, 17. What parent drops their kid off armed to the teeth?
I don't know.
Who does this?
You know, there's definitely a disconnect in what kids are learning and what they're doing now. And even some of the 20-year-olds, if you watch the video with Kyle Rittenhouse, I mean, I don't know what, like the one kid that tried to hit him with a skateboard, what's he thinking? I mean, that's like bringing a knife to a gunfight, but it's just we've all done something stupid when we were kids. Every one of us, right? I know I did something stupid, but he did something stupid and it cost him his life.
I can tell you this. I'll speak for you on this one. Right. And I'll speak for me and any one of my friends that I've grown up with. Never would we attend an event where violence could happen like this, number one.
No.
And if we saw, and I'll speak for you and me, if we saw somebody with a gun, brandishing a gun like he did, we'd run the other way.
Run the other way. I'd try to find a rock to hide behind or something.
I mean, there's no shot that I'm going to go. But you know what's interesting? First of all, there wasn't an open carry rule in Kenosha. That was against the law. But
oh, really? I didn't know what the Wisconsin law was. Or
there is no law providing that to happen. Number one, but that's illegal. But when you go after somebody, they have the right to protect themselves,
right.
And that this is going to be a very ugly case. And the worst part about it, we have a 17-year-old
right.
who's facing his future. And he could go to jail for life.
Right. So
he's killed two people, blew off a guy's arm. What the hell?
I don't know what got into him that he wanted to go there and felt like he was protecting whoever he was protecting. All of them should have just been at home, especially 17-year-old. I mean, I know that
I'm 59. I wouldn't be there.
I know. I wouldn't be there either.
I have to tell you something. What's scaring me right now is we have Death Wish 2020, meaning vigilantism. And, right. You know, I have to say this, and I know we didn't agree on this partially as far as what I believe law enforcement officers need to do is they need to act with some sense of force. I'm not sitting there saying shoot somebody multiple times, but maybe you have to use a baton. If somebody gets, if they start pushing on you and physically accost, you got to fight back. And having handcuffs on law enforcement during riots is insane. Now, that being said, George Floyd, in all honesty, regardless of why he was busted for $20 counterfeit bill and maybe he was high, his death of all four that we know of right now would seem like the most illogical.
Right.
Jacob Blake's alive. He did get, and I don't understand how you shoot guys seven times at point blank. I don't understand that.
Right.
But again, I'm not defending the law. Blake was not necessarily a model citizen.
Right.
Rashard Brooks just got out of jail because of COVID. What are you doing drunk behind a steering wheel?
Yeah.
And then the kid in Inglewood, his mother calls the cops because a 15-year-old's got a gun, and he started shooting at the cops. Hence, he gets shot. He didn't get killed, but now you have riots.
Right.
And what's precipitating one state after the other? It's insane. This is no longer political. This is a matter. This is the United States. This isn't Beirut. We should not have to worry. And let's be honest. I got young grandchildren. You have younger kids. What the hell, man?
Well, you know, when we were kids, we were taught you listen to the cops. You do what they say. If the cop says jump, you say how high. And somewhere along the line, that's been lost. Now, listen, there's bad cops. There's no question. But most cops are good cops, probably 99%. But like everything, the bad apples spoil it for everyone else. And you have a situation where, you know, black people feel that the cops target them more than they do anyone else. Whether it's true or not doesn't matter. That's the way they feel. So let me, hey, Denise, can you play the Trevor Noah track? So this is, Trevor Noah explains it way better than I do. Let's see if we can.
And while what happened with those shootings last night is tragic, what happened afterwards is illuminating. Because it made me wonder. It really made me wonder why some people get shot seven times in the back, while other people are treated like human beings and reasoned with and taken into custody with no bullets in their bodies. How come Jacob Blake was seen as a deadly threat for a theoretical gun that he might have and might try to commit a crime with? But this gunman who was armed and had already shot people who had shown that he is a threat was arrested the next day, given full due process of the law, and generally treated like a human being whose life matters.
So that's basically why African-Americans are angry. I mean, he explains it in a way where I think people understand. And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, and Mr. Blake deserved, you know, he wasn't listening to the police. I mean, there's certain...
Well, they were called out for reasons, but that's true. I have to sit here and tell you, I mean, when you hear about a guy getting shot seven times and he's crippled or he's paralyzed is one thing, but you know what? Law enforcement, to my knowledge, doesn't shoot to hurt you, injure you. They shoot to kill. And it's amazing that he's still alive.
Yeah.
But yet
well,
you
seven
listen
bullets
to...
And he's alive. It's incredible.
When you listen to his father speak... He spoke today at the honoring of Martin Luther King's 57 years ago, I Had a Dream speech, and you start to think, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, you're trying to make it out like your son was some kind of, you know, scholar, and he's a model citizen, and he wasn't. It's like,
right.
Oh, my God. But be that as it may, I mean, we've got to start teaching people how to deal with the police when they get talked.
I totally agree with that.
I don't understand what the hell they're doing.
You know, they in elementary school and middle school and even high school, they don't teach civics anymore. Not, you know, like just regular civics class. Let me give you an example. Like you couldn't pass, most people in this country couldn't pass the citizenship test, right? And that doesn't make sense to me. Like why everyone should have to learn, you know, what it is to be a U.S. citizen. And one of the things that you have to teach, among many others, that isn't taught in school is, you know, what you do if you get pulled over by the police. You know, how the police should act, how you should act. It should be taught from a young age. I mean, we don't have those classes. There's no civics classes in elementary school anymore, or middle school, or even high school. There's certain basic concepts that could be learned that aren't taught anymore. And what you do when you're pulled over by the police? What if you get a ticket? Do you go to court? Do you pay it? All those things. You could learn all those things. How do you interact with a police officer when he pulls you over? None of that's taught. This should be taught.
You know what's sad?
Taught from a young age.
But it should be taught at home with the parents.
Be taught at school, too. Because
I'm not arguing with that. What I'm saying, though, parents. But I got to tell you something. And this is talking to cops that are black, white, doesn't matter who they are. And they'll tell you, when you make an arrest and it's in a community like North Las Vegas, now you're going to find that you're not going to just make an arrest. Somebody's going to, you know, act out. They're going to say certain things. It's going to get crazy. And I'm like when I get pulled over by a cop and I'm speeding, you know what I do? The first thing I do, I put my hands up so they don't, I don't want to get shot.
Right. Well, I put my hands on the steering wheel.
So do I. That's what I'm talking about. I put my hands on my steering wheel.
Right.
But more
so. You're supposed to put your hands 10 and 2 on the steering wheel.
Right. And when he comes over, I apologize. After he tells me what the deal is, I apologize.
Right.
Why? Because this is a guy who has a ticket book with pen. He could write out multiple tickets and I could end up paying $1,000. Or I may get a pass.
Right.
Or I may just get a speeding ticket for a few miles over the speed limit. But be that as it may, we need to understand when you get pulled over by a law enforcement, or if a cop is investigating something and they see you and they ask you questions, you don't give them a rash of crap. And it seems to me, one thing leads you to another, and before you know it, you have chaos.
Right.
And it's, I mean, what's going on at Kenosha? And let me say this. What scares me more than anything is that now all of a sudden we're seeing a militia, or we're seeing vigilantism. This is not something we want to happen.
No, it'll be bad.
Oh, man. And people will die.
Yeah.
These militia guys and women, they don't shoot to maim. They shoot to kill. Look at this 17-year-old. He was a better shot than the cops that shot the Mr. Blake.
I know. Yeah, well.
Well, he blew a guy's arm off, and he shot two people in the head.
Yeah.
He shot one guy in the chest and the other guy in the head. I mean, this kid meant business.
Yeah.
And then of course you have him on video calling somebody and walking away in front of police, and you got to wonder, what were they doing? Like you said when we were talking earlier.
Yeah.
By the same token, I'm thinking maybe they didn't want anything. They were hoping to get rid of him. They knew who he was, and they were going to make the arrest because they wanted no more shooting, and they figured if they arrested him, other people might have jumped on them. And action against his shooting people. I mean, you just don't know.
Well, I have a question for you, though.
Sure.
That a lot of people have talked about. A lot of people have asked this question. What if Kyle Rittenhouse was black and he was carrying an AR-15 around like that?
I don't know what to say to that. What if he was black? What does that mean?
Because the cops would have had a bullet in his head. That's what most.
You know. People, you know what? That's a very good point you make.
Yeah.
I can't even argue that. I don't know. You're right. That's a very good point.
So that's what the black community is arguing about. That's what they're saying.
Well,
you know what?
To the black community, you know what? Maybe if you didn't burn down and you know what bothers me more than anything? The majority of these people that were burning down, destroying property, were not living, are not from Kenosha. And the businesses in Kenosha supported the black community. A lot of these people had their jobs, their livelihood coming from there. Now they're unemployed.
Yeah.
I mean, well, what are we doing here? What are we trying to solve? What's the end game?
Right. Well, the people that are looting are just thugs. I mean,
right.
That's not the majority of people. I mean,
No, I get it. But that small amount of people is destroying.
They can wreak some havoc. There's no question about it.
And that's what the problem is.
And that needs to be stopped. People need to step up and stop that, whether it's the police or the community or whoever, the looting. But at the same time, you can't have Kyle Rittenhouse running around with an AR-15 to try and stop it.
I don't think anybody should be running around with it. I don't think you should be going out there. But by the same token, how is it possible that a militia or village vigilantes are looking at this thinking, we got to go in there and we have to solve the problem? Police officer, we need to let the law enforcement do their job. And you know what? If you get pulled over or if there's a possibility that you did something wrong and they come after you, you know, if you don't want to get shot, cooperate.
Yeah. So I don't know what the solution for the looters are, because it should stop. I mean, I've witnessed it firsthand in the L.A. riots. I was in downtown L.A., right on the border of downtown L.A. and South Central, and I saw people looting. They could care less about the political ramifications of what happened in the trial. They just clearly just wanted to loot, and they wanted to get free stuff. It was just how much.
Well, I believe that's the majority of the looters are looking at this as an opportunity. I think
the looters are looking at it as an opportunity.
I agree with you there.
And I saw it. I mean, I know that for a fact. People want free stuff. You know, I'd say another word, but we're on the radio.
Yeah, well, you know how that is. Hey, we got a caller. We have Will on the line. He wants to chime in. Hey, Will, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Pat. And Dean, is it?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Dean. If I might, I'm going to chastise you to begin with, but I want it understood that I'm calling your show because I have a lot of hope and faith, because I thought you were going to talk about resolutions.
Well, we're going to actually come up. We're trying to, but you know, we're trying to figure this out. So maybe you can give us a couple pointers on this one.
Yeah, because I can get newscasts and commentaries all day long anywhere I want them. Okay?
Right, you're right. You're absolutely 100% right. We want to figure out solutions. We're just talking about it so that we can come up with some solutions.
Right. So, and I understand that it's easy for me to make these judgments from the outside like this after you have your discussion. Well, what I think we need to look at is, I don't blame the cops. It isn't the cops. It's the people behind them, which are public officials, public appointed elected officials. That's who's they go out there. They get all stressed out because there's 10,000 rules. For example, automobile insurance. That's a bunch of crap. It's an $1,100 fine without automobile insurance. Domestic violence. They have no business going on a domestic violence call. That's for two consultants that are armed, private, that's $59 an hour each. Do you want two men there or three? If you can't marry, that's why in the old days you had the engagement periods. The other thing is, where do these children come from? They come from the portal. We're going to have to address the ability, the female's ability to procreate, and who's going to be responsible. We have to be able to, in other words, I'm trying to show you that these problems are complex and now intertwined, but they're making them more complex, and they're not walking them back to the problem. So if you put a person in jail, I'm giving you these points to consider here. I'm not paying $59,000 a year to watch some guy sit in a bird cell, you know. So we have to redefine what we do. Do we give warning tickets three, and then the third warning ticket, we either banish you to a remote land or shoot you? I mean, there are some tough decisions that have to be discussed, and they can get emotional. But the point is, in talk radio, your success is based upon short commentaries. I've talked to two or three managers, and that's just antithetical to a complex moment. But your show, in doing what you're doing, I consider to be an avant-garde, a front-end position here. But what are the priorities here? See what I'm trying to say?
Well, the trouble is we're trying to find a common ground. I mean, you have your opinion. Everybody has an opinion. You know the old saying.
Yeah, but Dean, I take issue with common ground. That's an overly used term. We need to reconstruct here, Dean.
Reconstruct. Reconstruct is something that just probably can't be done. I mean, you have to find common ground. I mean, even you're talking about elected officials. Elected officials are elected. How often do they have? How often do you go vote? You can change an elected official by one way and one way only, really, and that's voting. And that doesn't come around that quick. Two-year positions, four-year positions.
Okay, but Dean, if you take your comment that you just made there,
yeah,
there's a lot of can and can't do's. The reason you can only vote once a year is because that's the way we've determined it to be, because our system is failing us. You guys are unusually Vince, what you're trying to do here. That's what I'm trying to tell you is that if you say to me, well, look, we appreciate your view here, but I don't think that's a priority. What comes before the birth and the birthing and the family and domestic violence calls and the automobile insurance, what comes before that is this, then we can all weigh that and see if that has merit to it. See what I'm trying to say to you?
But you never, those things don't move that fast. And when it comes to, you know, from the birth, like, you know, you're getting into issues of abortion, no abortion. I mean, you have one side saying you don't believe in abortion, but you don't want to take care of the kids after they're born. And you have the other side saying, listen, we believe in abortion. We should take care of everybody. You know, I mean, you have these issues are so complicated. What are you trying to say? I don't even really understand.
Well, Dean, the comments you just made are what we call partial truths. I can never argue against those moments. Everything you said was true. But we have to bypass that. We have to get past that. For example, let me give you another excuse. These are undeniable reflections, okay? Those mobs in those streets, I see the militia coming online as a positive thing, not like you folks do. But the point is, those mobs running wild, it isn't them, Dean. They're simply pawns. You could take those people out in 30 minutes, okay? It's the leadership behind them that are making a cop stand still and letting these people commit these violent acts in the name of some BLM, which to me has gone BM, but set that aside. And I respectfully apologize. I didn't want to go there. But what I'm trying to show you is that we have to look deeper at the moment. Now, once we agree it's not those people, I can get thousands of those people who want to loot all day long. Who told those cops to stand down? Why didn't our president come into that moment? Why aren't we getting to see the discussions in the mayor's office, who must have had a discussion with somebody, damn it? Maybe we should put cameras in these political and point offices and make them record the meetings so that we can understand how that happens. If we don't begin to look at the causation and the source of these things, which I thought you were going to do, we're always going to be in this looping moment.
Well,
and by the way,
I think when you first start talking on a show like today, right, we have to bring up a topic. And you bring up the topic and you talk about what the problems are, and then you try to get to the solution and after you start to identify where the problems are. I mean, and that's pretty much what we're going to try to do. Everything you're saying, where I don't disagree with anything you said, you know, we just opened up the platform this now today regarding this particular situation, and we're chit-chatting, and, yeah, we're having dialogue with regard to, you know, what the hell's going on in America. And yeah, we have to come up with a solution. Well, one solution we did come up with so far, we believe, is that maybe we need to start teaching our youth about respecting law and order and respecting the police. Or when you get pulled over by cops, you don't start dropping F-bombs on them.
Right, and I suggested that, you know, we should have civics classes starting at a very young age in kindergarten, first grade, and we don't. And we don't teach kids. So it goes along with what you're saying. Teach them from the time they're young. The one of the biggest problems we have right now with what's going on is that kids aren't. There's nobody there for kids that are in trouble. When kids and Pat and I are both involved in youth sports, and we've seen it. There's so many kids that don't have the parents and the support that a kid needs. And
okay,
when the kids that don't have support, what happens is they come to a crossroads, and you can see it. If you're around these kids, you can see it. They come to a crossroads, and if no one's at that crossroads to tell them, hey, you need to go down this path, they will generally pick the wrong path. And
Dean, if you take that moment, right, what you just said there, both you and Pat?
Yeah.
I happen to agree with you. That child, the process of marriage is one of the most dangerous positions, in my opinion, known to mankind. The ability for the female to tame that male, to treat him what love is one of the most difficult places to be. That child coming out of that marriage needs to see a patriarchal role.
Right.
So what I'm suggesting to
Will, thank you for the call. We're going to go to a break. It's not me. We got to pay the bills. Thank you for your call. Dean, we come back. Let's pick up where we left off on the kids with the crossroads.
Okay.
We'll be right back after this.
It's time to relax in your very own customizable, energy-efficient Bullfrog Spa. Don't miss your chance to get up to 20% off your beautiful new hot tub with 0% financing for 48 months OAC. Our big Labor Day sale is happening right now in the Bullfrog Factory Store at 209 North Stephanie Street in Henderson. Hurry in. This sale ends Labor Day. Bullfrog Spas. peaceful body, peaceful mind, peaceful home.
When I say air conditioning, what do you think of? Relief? A lifesaver? Couldn't live in Vegas without it? For sure. But ask a lot of people what they think of when you say air conditioning, and you probably hear, I don't want to think about it. I want it to work. Which is why those people call Yes Air Conditioning. Yes was part of the company that brought air conditioning into the desert. Whether you need a new air conditioner or need service for yours, the Yes Man will get it working and keep it working. Remember, the Yes Man can. 888-4937 or visit theyesmancan.com. License 71246.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Welcome back to Common Ground. And you know what? The ground isn't so common because we're trying to come to the solution. You know, Dean, you brought up a great topic at the end of that segment about kids in the crossroads. And, you know, as somebody who's been coached youth sports for 17 years, and I started with young kids, you know, 8, 9, 10, all the way up to college kids. And, you know, the biggest problem, especially in the black community, they talk about it all the time, is the fact that these kids are raised in split families.
Right.
In some cases, the parents aren't there at all. Grandparents have to raise the children. The lack of guidance. I think it's time that we really start looking at things differently in that respect. But, you know, we have to start doing different things at the schools. And I think the problem with the schools is they preach instead of teach.
Right.
And I think you got to start using these teachable moments as great opportunities to bring our kids to the next level.
Yeah.
Like teaching somebody, hey, you know. Civics is a great class you were talking about. Girl, I like that. But how about just simple things like how to manage your checking account?
Well, that's part of civics.
Right. But I mean, okay, I didn't know that part. But little things like that. Or how do you use public transportation? You know, what you should do. You know, when you and I were raised, I remember growing up, Halloween, we were told by our parents, don't take candy from a stranger. And when you go trick-or-treating, you don't eat anything until you bring it home so we can check it.
Yeah, I know.
And now, I mean, kids don't, they make stupid mistakes.
There's simple things that you could learn in a civics class, like how to change a tire, you know, clipping coupons, how much, you know, or, you know, clipping coupons can save money if you know how to do it. Or if you're going to go get a coffee every day or smoke a pack of cigarettes, how much does that cost? How much do you spend a year smoking a pack of cigarettes every day. You know, and what else could you use that money for? And if you save that money, there's just, you know, there's just a lot of things that could be taught. And, you know, some of the things that we addressed are, you know, important parts of life when it comes right down to it. And a lot of kids are forced to learn it on their own.
257-5396, 257-5396. You want to chime in, please, by all means. You know, when you look at, like I said earlier, we brought up Floyd, Brooks, Blake. They all had one thing in common. You know, they had lengthy criminal records, and,
right.
You know, they didn't want to go to jail again for whatever reason. And they give the officers of the law every excuse to use force in some cases. You know, you look at the mob down in D.C. the other night, and they attack Senator Rand Paul, and it doesn't make any sense. And here's a guy, Rand Paul, he's put out legislation to help police be better educated. You know, maybe it's time we teach our officers or send our officers to college before they go into law enforcement.
Right.
You brought that up as well. There's a lot of different things we can do here, but what do you do? How do you deal with it?
You know, I don't know. I think that, you know, instead of defunding the police or, you know, even some of the things that people talk about, like the Green New Deal or, you know, there's money needs to be spent on kids. And that's a point I was trying to make before, too, is like these things start early. Kids, you know, and too many kids fall beneath the cracks, you know, falling between the cracks, and they're not addressed. I mean, we've both seen it, and when you talk to teachers and people that, you know, try to help kids, there's not enough people and not enough money to help all the kids that need to be helped. And it's not just black kids. There's plenty of kids everywhere that need that can fall beneath the cracks. They can get to that crossroads and take the wrong path. It's really easy. And we're not doing a good job in this country. We're supposed to be the greatest country in the world. We're not doing a good enough job at that. We're just not. Now, listen, when George Bush was president, you know, he started the No Kid Left Behind. Now, it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked, but it's just a starting point, you know? It was a starting point. People need to build on it. And I say the same thing about Obamacare. It's the two things with Bush and Obama. They both started something that they both said was a starting point, you know? We need to build on it. Somehow it needs to be addressed. So it's not working that well. Let's look at it and make it better.
But here's the problem. We have a situation in America for the first time ever where partisanship prevails all the time.
All the time.
It's not even a bargaining chip.
And the media's made it
worse.
Media's making it so horrible.
I mean, I think the media, before they air a video of a shooting, needs to have the entire video, because I think the media is partially the blame for a lot of the rioting that's going on in America.
Right.
How about last week when that shooting, when that riot had it happened in Illinois?
Yeah.
Initial reports were the 15-year-old was shot and killed by the police.
Right.
That wasn't true. Guess what happened to the Miracle Mile? Hundreds of millions of dollars potentially in damage. And it was interesting. My friend of mine from back east put out on Facebook tonight, just to be clear, I support police officers, but not the ones who commit crimes. I support protesters, but not the ones who commit crimes. Yes, it's really that simple.
Right.
And you know what? It is that simple.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is that simple. And you know what we're doing in this country right now is we're making our nation look like a bunch of momos. We're not being smart about the way we're handling anything.
Right. And it could get way worse. I mean,
that's what's scaring me.
People are saying if we don't do something, it's going to get worse. And, you know, Kamala Harris said it the other day. The lieutenant governor of Wisconsin is a guy named Mandela Barnes. He's an African American. Seems like a really well-spoken, smart guy. You know, he's lieutenant governor. He talked about this stuff. Hey, Denise, will you play clip Mandela Barnes 2?
People are out there because they want to save this nation. They want to correct the mistakes that have been made over time. Many mistakes that have been made before most, if not every, protester was even born. And if we don't want to correct those mistakes, if we fail to correct those mistakes, the problems we deal with going forward are going to be nothing, or excuse me, what we're dealing with now will be nothing compared to what we'll deal with down the line. We have to bring about this change because it's desperately needed. But people need to be able to do so without fear of losing their own lives.
You know, but the same token,
yeah.
If you break the law, you should have to pay the price. Portland dropped charges on over 600 rioters, and I want to know why. I mean, here's the thing. If I know I can get away with it, I'm going to do it. Like, if I could go into the casino and I had a, and I was allowed to cheat, I'm going to.
There are definitely people that feel that way.
I mean, it's common sense. Mm. We have another call. We have Brian. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show.
Talking about, he was helping a friend who he mentored as a
young
boy.
Brian, I didn't hear the beginning of yours. You got on there in the middle of your conversation. I apologize. Can you start all over, please?
You bet. I'd like to bring up something that if you watch the Republican convention this week, for me, one of the most poignant messages was by the Caucasian wife of black 77-year-old former police captain David Dorn of St. Louis, who was murdered in cold blood trying to help a friend of his save his pawn shop from the rioters. And he was shot in cold blood, laid dead, bleeding on the sidewalk. And the two young black men who killed him
played it live on Facebook.
Now, the gentleman who he was trying to help as a young man was in trouble with the law many, many, many times. And David Dorn took the time as a policeman to mentor this young man. This young man cleaned up his life. He cleaned up his act. And went into business for himself, and that was his pawn shop. He was now a successful businessman. And being a friend and neighbor to David Dorn, when these riots happened, he asked if he'd help him with security for that pawn shop. And he was killed needlessly. And I think, to me, that highlights more than anything of the carnage that's going on by the people out there rioting. When it's totally, it's hurting their cause far worse than it's helping, I'm telling you.
No, we agree with you there.
Yeah,
we do.
Agree. And it's not the people, they're not peaceful protesters. They're just thugs. It's totally different. They're not there for, they probably don't even vote. You know what I mean? They're not part of society. They're part of something else.
Yeah, that was really interesting because that was a conversation, Brian, we had earlier, Dean and I. And it's interesting because when you really look at it, they probably don't vote, and that's even scarier. So their voice is only being heard through the act of violence. This past week, we saw a gentleman named John Ponder get a redo, and that was great. And the interesting thing about it, the officer who arrested him became a very dear friend of his. That's a great story. And you know what? The sad part we have right now is we have a situation where individuals want their message to be taken, and they want us to take it seriously. But unfortunately, how can you take something serious when they're acting out in vengeance against people that are innocent?
You can, and I think this is going to be the defining issue in this election this year, is the Democrats' lack of even acknowledging that this is going on in the cities. To me, they are Neville Chamberlain Democrats, the mayor of Portland, the mayor of Minneapolis, some of the governors and council members who allow this to go on are nothing more than appeasers, just like Neville Chamberlain was just before the Second World War.
Quite a very interesting assessment there. I forgot about Neville Chamberlain, and he kept giving Hitler a pass, and the more you gave Hitler a pass, next thing you know, boom. And I very good, Brian. Thank you for the call. Hope you call us again. 702-257-5396 is the number. And then it's 702-257-5396. You know, we can't let people get away with the things that they're doing wrong. By the same token, we need to get more people. Police need to be more involved in the community again. I mean, a lot of guys you know and I know are involved.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is there's two NFL players who are from Kenosha, right? Melvin Gordon and Trey Waynes. Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I saw that in today's paper.
He was a running back for the Chargers, and now he's on Kansas City, I believe. No, I mean Denver. So I think he's on. So Melvin Gordon, the former San Diego Charger, L.A. Charger, is now a Bronco, Denver Bronco. And Trey Waynes is a corner for the Cincinnati Bengals, I believe. And they're both from Kenosha. And they both said that they had no problems growing up. They didn't see the racism. The cops were involved. They were talking about how cops would ump their Little League games and be involved in all the sporting events. And they didn't see racism. They don't know really how, you know, why or how this happened. They were supporting where they came from, actually. And, you know, so I don't know what to say about that. This, it's a one-off incident becomes a national crisis.
Well, I think it's just a crisis of what's going on today. You know, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, every week it's something new. But what really alarms me more than anything, and I think the thing that really has to get elected leaders to step up to the plate and say, you know what? Enough's enough.
Right.
It's Kyle Rittenhouse. This act of vigilantism cannot happen. And it starts off with a 17-year-old shooting three people. How do we know it'll stop there? We don't need this to happen. Not in the United States. And the other thing that's interesting, in our day, I can remember clearly from the time I was in kindergarten and graduated high school, we never had an incident in my hometown where people brought guns to school.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Nowadays, it's become at least several times a year in Clark County, somebody brought a gun to school and shouldn't have. I mean, and people say, well, we have to get stricter gun rules and regulations. And I'm here to tell you know as well as I do, bad guys get guns.
Yeah.
Good people buy them the right way. I look at the Connecticut shooter, and I'm like, you know, his mom, again, another mother, I don't understand it. She takes her kid in and she buys him enough ammunition to start a small war. How does this happen? That should have been a red flag. When somebody goes out of their way to buy 1,000 rounds of ammunition, never owned a gun before, I think you got to say, little red flag, little red flag. I mean, that type of thing I can understand. And I'll sit here and say this again. I think it's time that we teach our youth in school how to deal with law enforcement. And I'll tell you something right now. I don't believe this is all racism. It just so happens that they're getting arrested. And again, in each case, it's hard for me to listen to somebody say they're being picked on when in each incident they have a criminal record a mile long. There's a phone call made to the police to come out because there's suspicion. Who's got a gun? This one's drunk and sleep at the behind the wheel. Jacob Blake, apparently there was other issues behind him. Plus he had a what do you call it? When you tell somebody you can't come by them, a restraining order.
No.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
And then you look at, you know, Jake Blake. This, George Floyd, the cops were called out on that situation. Regardless of what happened, regardless if it was an overreaction of the law enforcement, the individuals that we're picking up are breaking the law. And then you look at, and again, they talk about racism and whatnot, but then you turn around and you have a little kid, 5 years old, who was white, gets shot in the head by a neighbor. Why would you shoot a five-year-old? Regardless of how crazy you are, who does that?
Well, listen, you know, obviously there's mental illness involved in that. And that's a whole other issue. We do not, you know, even our medical community doesn't know how to handle mental illness properly. We haven't figured that out. There's not enough research and technology to figure out mental illness. And, you know, when you talk about the homeless problem, most of the homeless people have some kind of mental illness. And honestly, I know that cops would be really happy to not have to deal with mental illness and homeless people if they didn't have to. You know, that would be something that they kind of think. Most cops I know would kind of think that somebody else should handle that, but we're not equipped. We're not even equipped as a society to handle it. You know, there's too many people and not enough help. I mean, it's as simple as that. So when I hear, as a Democrat, when I hear Green New Deal, I'm like, what about mental health? You know, what about, you know, all these people that are homeless? Why can't we help them?
We talked about too. That's another issue. Remember, we talked about that earlier today.
Yeah.
You know, how do you pay somebody an exorbitant amount of money, $200,000-$400,000, to help homeless people find places? And what's their incentive for them to get these people off the street? I would say pay them $80,000.
Charities where people are making a lot of money,
and then give them a bonus.
Yeah.
Give them a bonus for doing the job. Like,
yeah.
for example, if you're in an area where there's 100 homeless people, and you place all 100 people in somewhere they can stay and live and get their act together, because a lot of those homeless people have mental nervous problems. Mm. Maybe that's how we pay. I mean, we're rewarding. We finance failure in the United States better than any nation in the world. And it's interesting, Dean, when you looked at China during the recent, it wasn't Beijing, it was Hong Kong issues. When they had the riots there, what did they do? They went in there with hoses and they shot a blue water to die down rioters. So anybody who came at them, instead of hurting them, they squirted them and they would arrest them later.
Right.
Why aren't we doing something like that? Why are we allowing buildings to be destroyed, property being destroyed. And again, you could prevent this, but we're not. And I do agree with Brian in this respect that we can't handcuff law enforcement. It's time to take the handcuffs off.
Right. But the police don't necessarily want to get involved. If everyone's got a gun, the police, you know.
Well, no, you're right there. But at the same time, forget about the gun part. Let's just, you know, just generally, if I'm going to go out and there's going to be looting and I'm supposed to stop it, I should be able to stop it, not be told, listen, you need to go there and stop it, but don't use it. You can't touch anybody.
Right.
I mean, that's like going to play baseball. Yeah. Okay, son, I want you to go up to bat without a bat.
Right.
I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to sit. We have to start allowing law enforcement to do their job.
Yeah.
And you don't.
And, you know,
can you imagine
being
afraid?
They do. I mean, there hasn't been. You only heard a few places where things have gotten really out of hand. So and even Portland isn't as bad as what it's reported in the media. I wish there was accurate reporting in the media. And
but what about what I said earlier? What about the fact that when they play these videos?
Yeah.
Without really doing their homework,
yeah.
Because it's not fair.
Well, we live in an era where sensationalized journalism is what sells, and that's what everyone wants to do. They want to sensationalize journalism, and so that they can get the ratings. I mean, it's all about ratings and money. That's what we've come to in this country.
Who would have ever thought we need Walter Cronkite to come back?
I know.
Harry Reasoner,
Mike Wallace. Dan Rather.
Remember when 60 Minutes really was a great show?
Yeah.
What the hell, man? I honestly believe in my heart, in my gut, that's the problem. The reason we have the things that we're seeing right now, and the reason there's such an animosity, and frankly, right now, we probably have greater issues with race problems than ever before.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And sooner or later, it's going to boil over, and I think it's starting to. Kenosha might have been the first step to realization. That was that ALS moment with the ice cold
right.
Wash. Whoa. You know,
well,
what do we do, you know?
I forget where, but there was something happened with BLM and they were all armed, and then there was some militia and they were all armed.
That was up in Gardnerville.
And if one person had accidentally pulled the trigger,
would have been a bloodbath and a half.
Bloodbath. So
and unfortunately, that 150 to 250 people
right.
would have killed on the spot.
Oh yeah, just right away. Everyone would have just opened fire, and some people would have ran. But it would have been a bloodbath, like you said, and that could easily happen. We could see that happen in the United States.
God, I hope not. But you're right.
Things could get worse. They're saying, you know, people say it's going to get worse, but you have. You know, Kamala Harris actually said this isn't going to stop. Do you want to play that clip? Denise, play the clip of Kamala Harris on Colbert.
I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had.
That's right.
For the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And this is a movement. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. And everyone beware. Because they're not going to stop. It is going to. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be. Everyone should take note of that on both levels. That this isn't. They're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
Why shouldn't they? Why would
well,
she say they shouldn't?
I think she's saying without a solution. We're not letting up without a solution.
Well, I got to tell you, here's the thing. I mean, law and order should be the solution no matter what.
So that she was, you know.
I mean, Martin Luther King has got to be rolling over his
prosecutor.
Grave.
I mean, she was a prosecutor who, she was a pretty intense prosecutor from what I understand. You would think she'd be behind law and order.
When I look at, now they did a great job this past few days in Washington, D.C., but why aren't they taking a chapter out of Martin Luther King's playbook, which would be brilliant? I mean, Mahatma Gandhi. I mean, they those two individuals did more nonviolent protesting and were ended up successful. The bottom line is it's not where you start, it's where you finish.
Right.
And right now, where you're starting, you're totally don't have the support of the people. In fact, you don't have. Let's just assume Black Lives Matter is the culprit here, and they're all black. That's a small percentage of black community that don't support the cause.
Right.
Now, we know it's not all black. I just use that as a comparison. I mean, you look at that commercial with Klasik in Baltimore, which was brilliant because she interviews black people saying, do you want us to do, do we want less police or we want more? And they're like, we don't want to defund the police.
Most people want more police. They, you know,
people listen, want law and order.
Innocent people want law and order. People have businesses and they support themselves and, you know, they want law and order. No, most people, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, 99% of people want law and order.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, the people that aren't, you know, conforming to law and order are the minority, and that's the trouble. Is what we said is the news. But listen, one of the things, because I think we're running out of time, right?
We got a couple minutes.
The media is at fault for sensationalizing things and not pointing out what's good, and it happens constantly. But one of the things that we've talked about that I think we agree on as a solution is it starts with the kids. You know, it starts in kindergarten. And, you know, kindergarten teaches you how to go to school. Well, it should teach you how to act as a human being, too. And we're not teaching, for whatever reason, we've lost touch with teaching kids
citizenship,
what it means to be, you know, a decent member of society and learning the appropriate things to do. And one of those things is, you know, what do you do? How do you treat police officers and how should police officers treat you? You know, this is important. You know, it's an important step, and it's a solution that I think we can all agree on. The trouble is, how do you start it? How do you get the funding? Everything, these things, you know, cost money, and it's such an important thing. How come people aren't paying attention to that? You know,
it's interesting. Why aren't people paying attention to that? You know, what's funny?
Yeah.
If you think about it, we have schools now that won't acknowledge valedictorians. Because they don't think it's fair.
Right.
And I mean, this is, you know, we call this the wussification of America.
Right.
You got jump rope without a rope in Arizona at certain schools. Certain schools don't want to give kids homework because they may not have a home to go to.
Right.
I mean, these are the problems that, you know what's really interesting about our country? The people that made huge successes where they started from, what they had.
Right.
I mean, Carnegie, for one.
Yeah.
Andrew Carnegie started from, and when you look at what he accumulated during his time, it's unbelievable. Rockefeller started from nothing. Look what he earned.
Well, but you don't even have to become a millionaire, Pat. I mean, there's so many people in this country that started with nothing and just made something out of themselves.
But my favorite story, and I don't like the guy, is Bezos. He borrowed $500,000. Look what he's worth.
Well, you know, but I'm talking about people that came to this country with zero. And made something. You don't have to be a billionaire.
Well, tell about your ancestors.
Talk
about your ancestors. What happened to them? Where they came from?
Oh, my ancestors came here from Russia. I mean, they escaped the pogroms and they came through Ellis Island. They had nothing. My grandfather started out as a baker, you know, working in a bakery at 4 a.m. in the morning. But what my ancestors did. They had to go live in the ghetto when they got here, but their whole dream was to get out. I mean, they worked night and day to get out of the ghetto and make sure their kids could go to college and get out of the ghetto. And you know, it was the pride was getting out. You know.
So what you're basically saying, like I always tell everybody, you spell success the old-fashioned way, W-O-R-K.
Right. Well, yeah. But people have to be taught. I mean, you know, kids.
You know what's
now,
funny, Dean? I got a grandmother and a grandfather. She never worked a day at a job hourly.
Yeah.
My grandfather did go to work. And when they both died, they left a huge estate in the millions to their kids.
Right.
And all I can tell you is this. They worked hard. They never did anything without paying cash for it.
Right.
And unfortunately, we haven't heard that. And there's our tune. We're ready to get. We're getting out of here, Dean. We're going to have to wrap it up. Dean, it was a good show. I appreciate your time. I enjoyed it.
Hope everybody enjoyed it.
And everybody out there, I hope you enjoyed it. We're here. It's called Common Ground. We're here every Saturday, 6 to 7. And we'll see what happens next week, because I know it's Labor Day weekend, so we'll figure that out. But to all you out there, have a great holiday weekend next week. If we don't talk to you, in the meantime, be safe.